Greetings, Good Friday Pilgrims. This is Pastor Bob, and today is April 2nd, 2021. It's the 45th episode of our Lenten Daily Devotion. It's Holy Week, and it's Good Friday. The end of the journey beckons us. One more day. But today is not a day to rush through. In fact, it can't be rushed through. It has to be savored for what it is, because only then does what's to come really have true meaning for us in our own lives. We have the monks today for Good Friday, as you can hear in the background, singing for us the chant of the mystics. The cerulean surf and sea candle has been with us the whole time, and it's looking good today. And we've got some tea. That's the chamomile and rooibos de-stress tea for a Good Friday. Well, today is a little different. The main part of today's episode is the scripture reading. We're going to be reading the story of today from the Gospel of Mark, the Good Friday story, sort of. From chapter 14 in Mark, verse 32, 14:32, to chapter 15, verse 39. That's 14:32 to 15:39. If you want to write that down, the Gospel of Mark. I want to read Mary Alice Mulligan's reflective thoughts before, and I'll read it after, because the focus is really the scripture reading. She says this: take your time reading the scripture. No need to rush. Then you may want to sit quietly digesting the scene. In your journal, or your pad, or your computer, or your mind, or your heart, you could list the different people who appear in this reading. List the different people who appear. Is there a person or two that you particularly identify with? What is it about them that's familiar to you? People you identify with. Or you might want to list the different titles people use to identify Jesus. I think there are at least 8 different titles. Does the title a person uses for Jesus indicate something about their relationship with him? Who they see him as? How they relate to him personally? What titles do you use for Jesus? Why? Why those? What do they signify? Or, most importantly, you may want to reflect on your own reactions to the absolute self-giving love of God that Jesus pours out on the world during his last hours of life. Reflect on the absolute self-giving love of God that Jesus pours out on the world during the last hours of his life. Maybe you want to write about that. But here's the truth. You have accompanied Jesus all the way to Jerusalem and the cross. How does that feel? Let's hear this scriptural story. As we open our Bibles, we invite God now into our presence for the Holy Spirit to lead us through this, to help us hear and see what truth is in these pages for us, to bring meaning of each and every word, to make it living word for each one of us. We begin at Mark 14, verse 32. Jesus prays in Gethsemane. And they came to an olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be filled with horror and deep distress. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me." He went on a little farther and fell face down on the ground. He prayed that, if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass by him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will, not mine." Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you stay awake and watch with me even 1 hour? Keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you. For though the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak." Then Jesus left them again and prayed, repeating his pleadings. Again he returned to them and found them sleeping, for they just couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, "Still sleeping? Still resting? Enough. The time has come. I, the Son of Man, am betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. See, my betrayer is here." And immediately, as he said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a mob that was armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent out by the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the other leaders. Judas had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know which one to arrest when I go over and give him the kiss of greeting. Then you can take him away under guard." As soon as they arrived, Judas walked up to Jesus. "Teacher," he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But someone pulled out a sword and slashed off an ear of the high priest's servant. Jesus asked them, "Am I some dangerous criminal that you come armed with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day." "But these things are happening to fulfill what the scriptures say about me." Meanwhile, all his disciples deserted him and ran away. There was a young man following along behind, clothed only in a linen nightshirt. When the mob tried to grab him, they tore off his clothes. But he escaped and ran away naked. We're now in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 53, beginning there. Jesus was led to the high priest's home, where the leading priests, other leaders, and teachers of religious law had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed far behind and then slipped inside the gates of the high priest's courtyard. For a while, he sat with the guards, warming himself by the fire. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would testify against Jesus so they could put him to death. But their efforts were in vain. Many false witnesses spoke against him, but they contradicted each other. Finally, some men stood up to testify against him with this lie. We heard him say, "I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without human hands." But even then, they didn't get their story straight. Then the high priest stood up before the others and asked Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" Jesus made no reply. Then the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed God?" Jesus said, "I am, and you will see me, the Son of Man, sitting at God's right hand in the place of power and coming back on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, "Why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" And they all condemned him to death. Then some of them began to spit at him, and they blindfolded him and hit his face with their fists. "Who hit you that time, you prophet?" they jeered. And even the guards were hitting him as they led him away. Meanwhile, Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls who worked for the high priest noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and then said, "You were one of those with Jesus, the Nazarene." Peter denied it. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. And he went out into the entryway. Just then, a rooster crowed. The servant girl saw him standing there and began telling the others, "That man is definitely one of them." Peter denied it again. A little later, some other standbyers began saying to Peter, "You must be one of them, because you are from Galilee." Peter said, "I swear by God, I don't know this man you're talking about." And immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and cried. Chapter 15. Very early in the morning, the leading priests, other leaders, and teachers of religious law, the entire high council, met to discuss their next step. They bound Jesus and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "Yes, it is as you say." Then the leading priests accused him of many crimes. And Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to say something? What about all these charges against you?" But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. Now, it was the governor's custom to release one prisoner each year at Passover time, anyone the people requested. One of the prisoners at that time was Barabbas, convicted along with others for murder during an insurrection. The mob began to crowd in toward Pilate, asking him to release a prisoner as usual. Should I give you the king of the Jews? Pilate asked. For he realized by now that the leading priests had arrested Jesus out of envy. But at this point, the leading priests stirred up the mob to demand the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. But if I release Barabbas, Pilate asked them, what should I do with this man you call the king of the Jews? They shouted back, crucify him. Why? Pilate demanded. What crime has he committed? But the crowd only roared louder, crucify him. So Pilate, anxious to please the crowd, released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to crucify him. The soldiers took him into their headquarters and called out the entire battalion. They dressed him in a purple robe and made a crown of long, sharp thorns and put it on his head. Then they saluted, yelling, hail, King of the Jews! And they beat him on the head with a stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him again. And then they led him away to be crucified. A man named Simon, who was coming from Cyrene, from the country, just then arrived, and they forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon is the father of Alexander and Rufus. And they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means Skull Hill. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then they nailed him to the cross. They gambled for his clothes, throwing dice to decide who would get them. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when the crucifixion took place. A signboard was fastened to the cross above Jesus' head, announcing the charge against him. It read, the King of the Jews. Two criminals were crucified with him, their crosses on either side of his. And the people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. Ha! Look at you now, they yelled at him. You can destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, can you? Well then, save yourself and come down from the cross. The leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him. Even the two criminals who were being crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then, at that time, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a stick so he could drink. Leave him alone, Let's see whether Elijah will come and take him down, he said. Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Let us pray. Crucified Lord, open my mind to understand your sacrifice, and open my heart to love you more. Amen. Just a reminder, today at the Arthur United Methodist Church from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., there's an open sanctuary for prayer and reflection to commemorate this Good Friday, and different pastors in town will be serving as hosts there. I'll be there from 11:30 to 1. Sunday morning, we're having our regular Easter celebration service at Vine Street Christian Church at 10 a.m., including a baptism of Lois Sylvanek, some wonderful music from Jerry Winters, and an Easter blessing, which includes a communion kit. At 6 p.m. Easter evening, sunset service at the Great Pumpkin Patch. All the community of churches coming together to celebrate the risen Christ. And for those who follow our Lenten daily devotion regularly, which is probably many of you, next week, beginning on Monday, we start a retreat week with Thomas Merton. I hope you'll join us for that. There'll be no regular daily devotions that week, just the retreat week. And with all that being said, this is one of our longer editions for sure, but the scripture is powerful, the story is meaningful, and you matter to Jesus Christ. And this is the week he shows you how much. Have a blessed Good Friday, and we'll talk again tomorrow.